Chicago's home for sports. Now, by your side, through your smart speaker.
Just tell it to
play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
On your home for Chicago White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000 at 12:30. It will be Jesse Rogers on the pregame and Connor and DJ on the call. First pitch, 1:10. Dylan Cease on the mound. Game four against the Orioles. They have owned us so far in our town. And that makes me crazy. And it should make any White Sox fan crazy. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander. And Brian, I want to bring this up. We were talking about this yesterday. Steve Stone, who has been a personality here both as a player for both sides of town and in the TV booth since the early 80s, just celebrated 40 years. He is a Twitter personality, and he does not suffer fools.
No.
And I've always appreciated that from him. I have no problem with him doing that. And yesterday he took a tact, it was either yesterday or the day before, but we were talking about it yesterday, where he resorted to calling some fans keyboard commandos because they have, you know, complaints and such. And what he was saying was he was sick of people tweeting at him complaining about the team, which, you know, if you know who Steve Stone is, that sounds pretty consistent with his personality. And I think if he had Twitter back in the early 2000s, you know, when he was with the Cubs, he might have been, you know, very much Steve Stone himself on Twitter even back then. And a lot of people took offense. I was seeing a lot of people jumping on saying, can you imagine your favorite commentator for your favorite team talking down to you like this?
Condescending.
Right, yeah. Being condescending or whatever. How did that hit you? Because I jumped on a couple threads saying it's consistent with his personality. He doesn't really suffer fools. But
it's okay. I get the not suffering fools thing, but it got to the point where if you had a legitimate criticism, and he would entertain some of those.
Right. And he is picky as to who he responds to.
Right.
He responds to.
But, I mean, look, fans are frustrated. Ask Tony. So now he's telling you which guys can't run because they're under orders not to. That's how frustrated he is. But, you know, there are legitimate criticisms and frustrations for the fan base, and that doesn't make them fools. That makes them emotional fans, by definition.
Right.
That they care so much.
Yes.
So, I mean, you can't just dismiss everything. And a lot of, I mean, I follow Stoney, and I've known Stoney, for, I don't know, 30 years, and maybe more than that. There's certainly 30, and we used to hang out on the road and all that stuff. I love Stoney. But you're right. It's consistent with who he is. And the fact of the matter is, though, when you base it, your backhand is, if you're not enjoying the ride, get off the ride. And when he said, if we start to win, you'll be back. Not when we're going to win, if. You know, I don't know how you say that to fans who are, they're paying attention, they care, they're investing time, money, passion, whatever, and just get off the ride if you're not enjoying it. You can be on the ride and still have issues with the ride, right?
Look, anybody who's paying attention that is on the ride has issues.
Yeah.
Nobody's head is in the sand. And what's unfortunate about this, and I'll say this, even though I said, look, it's consistent with who he is and all of that, and people could take offense to whatever they want to take offense to, and that's all fine and good. But we also know that he has to be a bit tight-lipped, and we have seen his real feelings through the lack of what he said. What was it yesterday that we talked about where he said I can't remember it now, where he basically...
It was one of the Twitter questions was, okay, Stoney, so, you know, if you're dismissing a lot of this, is it lazy players or bad
coaching?
That's
what it was.
And he said,
draw your own conclusions. Right.
And now, then Tony came out and said, well, they're not lazy players, they're on the do not run list.
Which is interesting that he followed up with that. So this is definitely a thing with the White Sox. They can kind of feel this backlash.
Sure.
Yeah, Steve, in a way, is being a bit more of a cheerleader than we thought he would be because he was the guy that got in trouble on the north side for calling it as it is.
The guys in the clubhouse of an underachieving Cubs team you know, were you know, saying, who the hell is this guy? And they didn't want him on the charter even, right? And Dusty Baker was backing his players, and it got messy.
And but again, Steve is saying during the broadcast, if he doesn't like something, he will call it out. And remember, when the Fire Tony chant, they both backed out. And they let that breathe.
You pointed out. Let it breathe.
Yeah, let it breathe for, I think, four rounds of Fire Tony.
20 seconds.
Yeah, 20 seconds. So he is sharing his real feelings. Sometimes you have to read between the lines. He is a bit coarse. And he will deal with people as he feels like on his Twitter feed.
Sure.
And you know, it's unfortunate that it rubs some people the wrong way, and maybe it is justified. I just saw it as just, you know, let it roll off your back. I mean, you know, he is cheerleading just a little bit. But during the games, if he sees something he doesn't like, he will be very, very honest about what he's seeing and why it isn't right. But it'll be interesting if this team does not turn it around by the end of the year. How will he summarize this year? The guy who said, it's coming, it will get better. How will he end up summarizing the year?
If we start winning. He didn't say, well,
that was yesterday. And I've not seen that before.
Now one more difference. It's not like when means you expect it to change.
Right.
And you'll be back.
And that's a little bit of a different attitude that we've seen from him. So we'll see how this pans out. But it was interesting. I did not see him today, but you said he just went right to the dogs. He loves dogs.
He loves dogs. And we share that. You share that. You know, we always talk about our dogs whenever we see each other. It's been a while, obviously. But he talks, you know, if you have cats, same thing. You know, just pet your cat. And, you know, all these medical studies show that your blood pressure actually
goes
down.
Stress reliever. Yep.
Yeah, if you actually touch your dog and play with your dog and take your dog for a walk, Mr. Zander.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good for you to have a pet in the house.
So
right?
Why do I have such a big yard?
Why did I
get a house with such a big yard if
like
I should
to
be
cut
walking?
Lawns? I don't. I mean,
yeah, I actually do. I'm the weird guy that likes to get on the zero turn and cut my grass.
Okay, see, but I've lived in the city since college, so there aren't big lawns. Occasionally, you inherit the little plot of land between the curb and the sidewalk, right? And even though the city owns it.
Yeah, that literally is 2 minutes to cut.
Yeah, I mean, you're expected to cut that because just like you're supposed to shovel your sidewalks, even though they're not yours. And then they'll come and find you if you don't. And it's a great scam the city's got. You know, it's our property, but you take care of it. And so then some people basically take that and say, well, as long as I'm cutting it, I'm going to build a flower pot or a bed around it. And I'm going to put a nice little fence around it, and no one's going to be able to stand on my little, you know, 10 feet square plot of grass that really isn't yours.
Right. Don't kill the grass because I have to cut it. It'll take me a minute.
Yeah. So that's the difference between living out in a nice palatial suburban estate and living in the city where you don't have a big yard, so you're forced to take your dogs in the middle of winter for a walk.
And see, that's the thing. I don't want to be forced to do anything in the middle of the winter. That's why I have this little.
You know what's the worst too? When they're sick or whatever, and they have to go out in the middle of the night, and you're running down steps and throwing on clothes and trying to get them out, and you just open up the sliding doors to the deck and say, "Go ahead and come on back when you're done."
Brian, that literally has been the past 2 weeks at the house.
Yeah,
we have three dogs and they're all rotating, doing different things in the middle of the night, either in the house. And that's if they wake us up. If they can't wake us up, our carpet cleaner has been getting an incredible workout.
Ooh.
For the past couple weeks. This weather. I don't know if your dogs deal with this, but this weather change with their stomachs and everything.
No, I take them out quite a bit every few hours for a walk.
Oh, so. Believe me. The dogs, again, they go out and they have plenty of yard to roam in. But yeah, it's.
Do they have Fitbits on their little paws?
I'm on my big Great Pyrenees today. I'm gonna go home and just put this Fitbit from my wrist on his, and see how he handles that.
I see if he'll even allow that to go on.
Okay, we've got Jim and Addison before we hit break here, and we're gonna wrap things up again. 12:30 is when Jesse's got the pregame for White Sox and Orioles game 4 of the 4-game homestand, and Connor. And DJ will be on the call, but we're going to take Jim here before we get to break. And Addison wants to jump in and talk about the Cubs. Hey, Jim, you're on ESPN 1000 with Zander and Henley.
Yeah, I get the Marquee Network for $20 a month, and the Cubs have the gall to put some of their games on Apple TV Plus, and I have three or four other providers, and they had the nerve to try to buy a soccer team when they can't afford other players.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, mixed messages.
Yeah,
right?
Jim.
A bunch of losers.
Yeah, you know, Jim, thanks for the call. To clarify this whole thing, and we talked about this, I think it was last week.
Or yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah.
It's been a long day. Yeah.
Easy, Tony.
Yeah. The whole idea behind the Cubs being on Apple TV is that it's an MLB thing. It's not a Ricketts thing. So they don't really have control over that. So if you are one of those frustrated with the fact that you are buying Marquee and sometimes the games are on Apple TV,
or YouTube,
it's a Major League Baseball deal that was made that is pretty much
to make more money.
Yeah,
to make more money.
And believe me, the Ricketts are making the money.
Sure they are.
But they don't have the money to spend. Yeah.
Right.
No. All right. Back to wrap it up. We will take a few more phone calls. 312-332-3776.
I got a music question for you and a recommendation when we get back.
We'll do that. And then you're the music man. Yeah, we'll wrap up the Twitter poll, too. Charlie's Twitter poll here on ESPN 1000. Be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Hanley and Xander, ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776. We've got a few minutes left with you, and then we will turn it over to Jesse Rogers with the pregame for the 110 pitch. Dylan Cease on the mound, Connor and DJ on the call here on ESPN 1000. We've got a Twitter poll. We'll wrap up before we get out of here. Just in case you are unaware, you want to hit up Twitter right now and let us know. Here's how it reads. This White Sox season has not lived up to expectations. Unless you really didn't have much to expect this year. What is your adjusted best case scenario for them as it stands today? Division title, wild card berth, miss the playoffs altogether, big names traded. If you want to jump in on that. So, Brian, you had a music question.
Yeah, I don't know if you're aware of the writings of Christopher Borelli, a really nice feature writer for the Chicago Tribune. He wrote this week, it's on chicagotribune.com, keep on loving you, our true appreciation of the power ballad, an art form invented in Illinois.
And by REO Speedwagon.
Yeah. And you know, he goes through all of it. I mean, Survivor and everyone. And it's a rather extensive piece and talk about how in concert, especially as they're touring these days, people are waiting for the power ballad. And, you know.
Oh, absolutely. The power ballad has been huge for years. It's what brings the guys and the girls together, right? I mean, like for a band for REO Speedwagon, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you. When High Infidelity came out and that was their big, big record that had that song Keep On Loving You, I'm the guy that wanted to hear ripping guitar riffs. And
see,
that was a soft album, but it scored big with everybody. And, and you know what? I'm in high school and that was played at the school dance. And that's when you got to dance with the girl. It brings the guys and the girls together.
Absolutely. You're still in concert. All of a sudden you're snuggling. And
That's why the power ballads are big, right? They're called power ballads because they've got like a guitar solo in them, but it's the sentiment.
That, you know, these ballots usually impact men more than women, even though men don't want to acknowledge that.
Do you think that I admitted that I was a Journey fan
in high school?
No, right? That was a girl band. No.
Right.
But of course I was.
So right here waiting for you. The search is over. The glory of love. But you're the inspiration. He's got Styx, REO Speedwagon, Chicago, Richard
and
Marx.
Styx and REO are touring again this year. They're buddies. They're road buddies. They're touring together.
Earth, Wind & Fire, Cheap Trick, Smashing Pumpkins have even had power. I mean, it's a really good piece if you appreciate music.
I've got to add. Thank you for directing me to that. The power
really
ballad
good.
is really a phenomenon that has been really powerful for years and years and years. And
he claims Illinois that's the main export of Illinois is the power ballad that, you know, over the years. And he traveled around with like Joe Vautomoline. He was talking to guys like Jonathan Cain, you know, the Journey.
Journey.
Talking about Open Arms and Faithfully. And some great stories.
And Jonathan is from Chicago, in case anybody didn't know. So that's your Chicago connection. Yeah.
Christopher writes that, you know, ask the guys, okay, when whoever wrote whichever power ballot and brought it to the band, some of the reaction was like, we're not doing that. And then all of a sudden it became a hit. And the record company's like, you're not only doing another one the next album.
Yeah,
right?
Not only are you doing that, you're doing a whole album of those next time around.
Yeah, it really is a wonderful piece for anyone who appreciates music and live music and the history of music, and certainly being from Illinois with its roots, that Christopher Borelli writes that we are the home of the power ballot.
That's really interesting. I never thought of that, but you're right. I mean, Survivor, after Eye of the Tiger, mm-hmm. there were power ballads that really, really put them on the map.
Kevin Cronin, Barry Cronin, who does the golf show with Tyler Aki out on Sunday mornings here on ESPN 1000, mm-hmm. he's the cousin of Kevin Cronin, REO Speedwagon. They're out touring, like you said.
Yep.
Keep on Loving You, and you know, they have to play them. They're playing the sheds. They have it, and it goes all the way to the back, and people are standing up waiting for it.
And I'll tell you something. When Styx has to do Babe, and I don't know how often they do it because Dennis hasn't been in the band for years.
That was our homecoming, our homecoming song back in the day.
I'll tell you something, JY and Tommy. Mm-mm. They didn't like that. That was the beginning. Because it was Dennis and his song to his wife, Susie, I believe her name is.
It's a
nice lady, and I remember meeting them.
That
was the beginning of the split of Styx, because Dennis wanted to do his thing. And so I don't know how often they do Babe, but they might have to do it because it's a power ballad that Styx is known for.
But, you know, back in the day, it was the slow dance, right? They're starting the first few notes of Babe in the high school.
And the lighters. Like, remember the lighters? Now it's the phone, the flashlights, but it used to be the Bic lighters.
Yep. Yeah, but check this out. I knew you would appreciate it. Maybe some of our listeners will, too. It's really an extensive piece and talks to all the principals and about how those power ballots not only have aged well, but, maybe who knew all these years later, people would still be absolutely in love with them and the highlights of their concerts.
So. And anybody who used to listen to my 80s show that I did years here in Chicago, a lot of the hair bands in the 80s picked up the whole power ballad thing and took it and ran
the
with
money
it.
Is. Yeah.
Poison, that's where all the money was.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've got this Twitter poll, and Charlie Bevins, our producer today, he's the one that came up with this. I thought it was brilliant because I've just been so frustrated. We're wearing our... I know I'm wearing my fandom, and it's been really hard to watch yesterday as my mind was wandering how I had to go and pick up the dog poop because I had seen
that was a better option than...
At that point, it certainly was. The Twitter poll reads as this, and we're going to have Charlie wrap it up. This White Sox season has not lived up to expectations. What's your adjusted best-case scenario for them? As it stands today, Charlie, how does it look?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. It is 39% missed the playoffs. That is the current clubhouse leader. Ooh. Big names traded is actually in last at 10.6%, but wild card berth and division title are at 34% and 16% respectively.
Wow, so missed the playoffs. So fans think that missing the playoffs is going to send some sort of message?
I don't know.
That's how they're feeling today, just looking at it. Say, if you were going to ask me today, do I think that they're going to miss the playoffs? They're not a wild card team. They're not winning the division.
Right.
I don't know how people took that, but it's interesting that, unfortunately, that could just be the Fitbit of the White Sox. You're just feeling the pulse of Sox Nation, and they're not going
to
win
after
anything.
After three losses to the Orioles, it's hard to have a good attitude.
And three runs or whatever it was for. I mean, help.
Yeah, 12 runs for the Orioles and three for us.
Mm-hmm. Not good.
In town.
Yeah. Well, you know what happens? If you hit well and they hit better, or if you pitch well and they pitch better, you lose. It's just that simple, Tony.
Yeah, he isn't a Hall of Fame manager for no reason.
No, that analysis is going to be coming to a TV booth near you when this is all said and done.
Now, we saw he said that on Twitter. If there's a soundbite somewhere, that is going to appear on this radio station more often than maybe... Well, probably not more often than Ted is our guy, Ryan is our guy,
our football guy.
That was on our greatest hits there for a while.
Oh, that one and have we got the quarterback right?
Right.
Enough games?
Yes.
No, but other than that, how'd you like the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a, it. Hopefully, it's not going to be a tough day today. I saw. Do you have the line on today's game? It looks like the White Sox are favored. I'm not really sure why at this point, but
I can check it for you.
Yeah, you check that. Look, I know why. Dylan Cease.
Yeah, he's been well,
but you know, doing well. He's a great option to go with, especially on a day game.
Minus 225.
Okay.
Not for my money.
Okay.
I thank God Dylan's not on the do not pitch list, but the do not run list scares me a little bit. And three runs in three games, Dylan's got to pitch a near perfect game, and you've got to find a way to get one or two runs, and then you can match the minus 225. That's a little rich for me, the way things are going. So
it definitely is. I'm really. Aren't you surprised by that? I am.
I am, especially when you are five games under at home. Don't have winning records. So, but it speaks probably to the fact that, you know, Baltimore's starting pitcher today has
a losing record. Yeah.
Well, none of that is almost a 5 ERA, but the other guy on Friday had an 8.5 ERA.
Yeah. See how that worked out.
Yeah.
Not so well. All right. So we've got Dylan Cease on the mound today for the White Sox.
Jordan Lyles for the Orioles.
Yes. Yes. And for the Cubs down in St. Louis, Alec Mills on the mound.
I'll probably be picking up dog poop.
You have a service.
Is it really a service? Can you imagine that's your job?
Sure there is.
No.
Yeah. Years ago, I saw on some inventor show, there was some guy that was trying to, maybe it was on Shark Tank. Yeah, where it was some kind of spray that you sprayed on it, and it instantly just kind of made it into like a fossil. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like stone.
Okay, so that's just too much effort. If you're going to have dogs, you know the deal. So, right.
Yeah, I would like that spray. That would be fun. I wait until it gets baked in the yard or frozen.
Oh, for the love of God. Just pick it up and dispose of it. Good Lord. It's not that difficult. It's, you know, boy, oh, boy.
There's some science behind it.
You're going to wait for the, it's June, but it'll be frozen in January. I'll pick it up.
No. I'm saying it takes a one hot day to get that nice and firm. Oh, boy, so you don't have to deal with that.
That yard must really be ripe. Your neighbors must love you when the wind strikes it just right.
No, I'm on it every other day. I just like when it's, burnt a little. Don't you remember the Joe Walsh song, Ordinary Average Guy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, go back and listen to that song. All right, we're late. Jesse Rogers is next with the pregame show, and Connor and DJ on the call here on ESPN 1000. Go White Sox, take on the Orioles. See you, Brian.